Okay, next up we'll have open lines and also share some of your weird stories with us. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we've got open lines for you for the rest of this hour, so let's go right to them. We'll pick it up by going to our international line. John in Canada, you're up with us. Hi, John.
Oh, hello there, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks.
Very good to hear. With respect to the weird in the States, your own George Knapp certainly did a wonderful job covering the hunt for the Skinwalker Ranch.
Superb.
That was just a phenomenal book. And so I wanted to actually just call out to George that I really appreciate the read in that. I'm an experiencer. It's kind of like an on and off thing here out in BC. I wanted to actually, I thought I was going to be talking to your guests because I was going to ask them if they could point me to any information with respect to a vortex grid that I could look up online, you know, for North America. And so I can't ask them that. Do you know of anything, George, that I might go to look for a vortex grid?
The only one that I'm really aware of is down by Homestead, Florida, where Coral Castle is.
Ah, okay.
And there are a lot of ley lines throughout this entire planet, of course, but that seems to be the main area of focus, of something very weird and peculiar going on down there.
Yeah, I'm asking you because of the events that unfolded in Utah at Skinwalker there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted a short story, and then I'll leave my contribution. Back in the winter of 92-93, where I lived here in BC, I was very focused on ufology. And it seems that when people open their minds right up to that fact, to that reality, things can sort of walk into your life. And so, keeping it brief, I had a little shop outside my house. I was unemployed at the time, and I was doing work with a hobby that I enjoyed so much. And at that time, I was smoking Colt cigars, and I came outside the shop. Oh, it must have been about 9 o'clock at night. And kind of looking up at the sky as I lit this Colt cigar, and with a Bic lighter, of course. The next thing you know, I see an amber sphere, about 45 degrees. My eyes were cast up into the sky to the southeast, and I knew right away that this was abnormal, and I lit the cigar, and I'm looking at the disc, and it's on, and then something made me flick the Bic lighter three times, and the disc went off and on three times.
Three times, communicating.
I started to get this strange feeling welling up from my feet up through my body, and I did it again with a chuckle, and it flashed at me again the three times. I did it three times, twice. And as a matter of fact, I had meditated earlier that day, and I had a mountain to walk up to and perform meditation. And this was a Monday evening. In March, as a matter of fact, and I didn't meditate on the Tuesday, and then on the Wednesday, I went up the mountain, meditated, came back down. I was on my deck at about 9 o'clock at night, looking out at the sky to the south of me, and there was the disc again, and it was to the southeast, almost in an exactly same spot in the sky, and right away, I'm thinking, man, somebody's got their eyes on me.
Yeah, you caught their attention.
For whatever reason, yeah. And so I'm looking at the southeast. I quickly swing over to the southwest for some reason, and bang, the disc had instantly appeared in the southwest in about the same altitude, you know, where my eyes were cast into the sky. And I wasn't smoking at the time, so I didn't bother flicking my Bic lighter, but I was compelled to go up to where I meditated, up the mountain, where, of course, there was snow. And it was a little marsh area, so I just walked onto the frozen, snow-covered marsh and traced out a huge question mark, thinking that maybe some information would come to mm-hmm. me, a dream or something. But anyway, I'll keep it right there, George.
And, okay, John.
I wanted to wish you a joyous adventure to Richmond, B.C., and I'm sorry I can't attend.
I'm looking forward to that. It's coming up the end of Feb, I'll have more information on that in another week or so. Let's go to Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. First-time caller, Donna. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. I'm going to apologize now. I'm very nervous, so I'm sorry if I stutter.
You're fine.
I actually had a question for your guests, but since they're not here, I guess I can just share an experience I had listening to your show. a couple nights ago when you had, I believe his name was Philip, on talking about the orb in the swamp, or is it Isaac?
Right.
I work for our local newspaper, and I deliver. I'm driving around right now, and one of the places I have to stop is in the middle of nowhere. And the story sent chills down my spine that I had to sit there for 10 minutes just to get up enough courage to get out of the vehicle and go to where I needed to be.
You need to get one of those cannon-type things that shoot the newspaper out on a porch.
Yeah.
You don't have to leave.
So, there was a story here in this area that I had heard from friends, but I couldn't find it, so I was going to mention it to them to see if they could help me, you know, locate it, but they're not on, so.
Okay. Donna, thanks. Let's move next to east of the Rockies. Alan, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi, Alan.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good.
I appreciate you taking the call. I was really surprised when your guests were talking about Resurrection Mary. I grew up in that area, and Bachelor's Grove is just right down the road from there. And that's a notoriously haunted place.
I can barely hear you. My headsets are going out. Alan, give me that one more time.
Okay, it's right down the road from where they were talking about Resurrection Mary. On Archer is a place called Bachelor's Grove. It's a notoriously haunted place. We used to go there when we were teenagers. Now they've blocked it all off. It's got barbed wire, cyclone fences all around it because they just don't want people to go back there and have weird things happen to them. Have you ever heard of Bachelor's Grove?
No, I have not.
Oh, I can't believe it. Anyway, we used to go before they have this. It's really one of the most notoriously haunted places in the United States.
I've got to check into that.
It's an old cemetery that goes back, you know, well over, I think probably about 150 years. And anyway, at the time we were teenagers, which was back in the 70s, it wasn't blocked off or anything, and it was just this long gravel grove that went down through the trees, and we would go back there at nighttime. It would be like we'd kind of just like freak each other out, and you couldn't turn the car around, so you had to back the car all the way down about a quarter mile down the grove because you couldn't turn your car around to get out if something weird happened.
You had to be ready.
And it was like, so we went out there, and it's like a graveyard, this old graveyard. And a lot of it was desecrated, and a lot of it was dug up. And one night we went out there, and so we backed the car down there, and we had like the car doors. It was a four-door old Delta 88. And so we left all the doors open so we could get in, you know, we scrambled. And then
just like, in case.
Get out of there, you know. So anyway, we went back, and we were walking in the cemetery, and there was this orb, this glowing ball of light, and then it had smaller orbs that were floating around it, and it started getting closer and closer and closer to us, and it was like, so we took off running, and we jump into the car, and all the doors are slammed, and we actually left the car running. And I pulled out, and I heard this incredible thud on the car. And what it was, George, was one of the guys that we were with, a heavy set guy, fell into one of the graves that had been kind of dug up. And we were pulling out. We didn't know that he wasn't in the car with us.
Oh, no.
On the back of the car. He was right on the hood. And, I mean, it was an incredible thing. But you got to look up Bachelor's Grove.
Yeah, I'll do that. He didn't get hurt, though, did he?
Oh, no. We were too young and stupid to get hurt back then.
Okay, we'll look it up. Thanks. Let's go to Port Angeles, Washington. Linda, west of the Rockies. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
What's going on?
That baby story really freaked me out.
Yeah.
That screaming baby. And I'm a writer, so I may work that into some of my stuff.
Why not? It's a good story.
I need to give you some information and then two questions.
Okay.
Recently, I had a spiritual awakening. I've been seeing 1111 a lot. And still am, and I'm Catholic, and I live in a senior apartment complex, and I'm only 61, but
that's
anyway.
Pretty young.
I know. I'm probably one of the younger ones here. I was told yesterday by a new friend that I've met on the bus that lives about a mile from me here that obviously has psychic abilities, that this complex was built over a portal and pure evil is coming into some of the people who live here. And I've lived here for 8 years and never had a problem with anyone, not even the people I don't, you know, care for.
Do you believe this story?
The story of the portal?
Yeah.
I'm beginning to. And so, like I said, I've lived here 8 years, never had any trouble with anybody, not even the people I don't like. And all of a sudden, five women have turned on me with a vengeance. And they're stalking me and threatening me and writing me weird letters. And so,
just out of the blue.
Huh?
Just out of the blue.
Yes, out of the blue sky. All five of them are saying the same thing about me, but one of them started to embellish things.
What are they saying about you?
They're saying that I go around at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning knocking on doors and running away, and I'm listening to Coast at that time. And then they say that they've seen me. Well, if they've seen me through their peephole, I obviously wasn't running away. And
yes.
So it doesn't make any sense. But one of them is stalking me now, and I thought I had it last night because I got trapped in a place where I couldn't have gotten away, but she went away. She turned the light on, and I was sitting in the dark waiting for a friend to come over from the other building across the street, and she came in and saw, all she could see was my foot. I was sitting on a little love seat type thing, but she flipped the light on and stood there a minute, and I thought, oh, no, I've had it.
Well, Linda, has this created a problem for you there?
Slightly. I am terrified to go out of my apartment after dark. So she finally flipped the light off and went downstairs. I could hear the elevator going down, and she told a friend down there that she's up there sitting in the dark in the game room like it was a crime. And so when I knew she was downstairs, I zoomed back to my apartment and locked the door, and I sleep with a chair under the door handle and a cane by my bed.
Just in case.
Yep, and I've been told to get some pepper spray by one of the bus drivers because she knows about this person. But like I said, she's stalking me within the building.
Is she nuts?
Evidently so. And she's harassing a lady across the street that used to be a friend of hers.
Is there anybody in charge of this complex that you could talk to?
Yes, and this woman also has been writing me weird letters. The manager has been writing me weird letters and sending me all kinds of 10-day notices for things I'm not doing. I got two in one day. And there's only one person that may be able to help me, and I don't want to mention his name. He's supposed to be coming, and
yeah, you don't want to lose him as an ally.
No, and all this stuff is going on, and they even put it in the paper. I can't understand why the local paper published it.
Published what?
They said Highland. They even mentioned the name of it, Highland Commons 2, which is where I live, and everybody.
Well, you don't have to be too specific here.
Yeah, okay. I shouldn't have said that probably. Anyway, that this apartment complex, which has a bad reputation by now, has a door knocker who walks the halls late at night and knocks on people's doors. And runs away, and they said, now this is where it gets
scary. Did they use your name in this thing?
No, but they could have, but they didn't know that. So this is where it gets scary. They said, you know, there's this person that walks the halls and everything, and they says, you are going to get caught. Well, obviously not, because I'm not doing it, but they said, we are watching you. So I am being stalked.
This is weird, Linda.
I know, it's frightening.
You've now made the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Knocking on people's doors in the wee hours.
And everybody that lives here knows who they're talking about because it's all over the building. It's all over the building across the street. And now it's all over town, probably.
Here's the thing. It sounds like it's somebody else, and they think it's you. Is that possible?
Well, that's what I used to think, and I've lived here a long time, and I was on staff one time as a key holder. So I'm a trusted person, and I admit that I sometimes during the long commercial breaks on your program, I walk up and down the halls. For exercise, because I, you know, get stiff sitting here in bed, laying here in bed. And I have been out late at night, and I have never heard anybody knocking on a door. And you'd think if anybody would hear it, I would.
You don't sleepwalk, do you?
Oh, I hope not. I'll get shot.
All right.
But I have never heard anybody knocking on doors, so I always thought it was just like an urban legend or a rumor.
Linda, you would be in their book. This is a weird story.
Yeah. And I always thought it was like an urban legend or something. Maybe, you know, it's just something that goes around because I heard it so much. Until my best friend, who doesn't tell those kind of lies, said somebody knocked on her door. And that's when my hair stood up on my neck.
Well, listen, let me give you some advice. Even during a commercial break, stay in your place. You don't have to do that. You know, after the hours, just stay in your place. Go out in the daytime. Let's go to Fort Smith, Arkansas. John, you're on Coast to Coast. John, good morning.
Good morning, George. You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. That was a weird call, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had this weird experience, man. Back in October of 2006, it was late at night. It was about, I'd say, Me and my buddy went fishing at 12:30 a.m. at the Arkansas River, and it was near Fort Chaffee, right by Fort Smith and Fort Chaffee, and it's an Army base and Air Force base out there. And man, we were sitting there, and we had our minds in the water and all that, and we're sitting there by the dam, and there's this black car that pulls up. You could see across the river pretty good, and I could see clearly there was a car there pulled up. It turns its lights off, and these four figures got out. I just thought they were people, and I was curious what they were, and I just kept staring over there, and I happened to notice that the car pulled away, and those four beings were there, and I noticed that they weren't really human, and they walked up and they got along the bank, and they kind of, I have a feeling whatever it was knew I was watching them.
What were they?
I think they were terrestrials, extraterrestrials, and it was really freaky. Me and my buddy were just freaking out on this. We were real shocked, like petrified, to the point you couldn't talk.
But they got out of a car?
Yes.
Like some government official let them out or something like that.
Oh yes, and they stood up there by the bank, and there's lights all around this dam here, and they stood there, and I was staring at them, and I could see that they were kind of grayish white, and then all of a sudden they just all turned on like a light bulb, that started glowing neon green. And you could see their eyes, and they were just standing there staring at us. And I started praying, I was praying to God that they wouldn't do anything.
I would guess. So how'd they disappear? What happened to them?
Me and my buddy were staring at them for about five to 10 minutes, and I just kind of got a real uneasy feeling. But I heard this helicopter coming over, and as it was coming over, I noticed that it was a dark military helicopter, and it had a blue spotlight, and it was spotlighting around me and my buddy, and just right above us.
So
and,
they were watching these things.
Oh yeah, definitely. And as the helicopter was turning around, I was getting scared. I wanted to get out of there and stuff, but I was afraid to move. I thought I was in trouble for seeing something I wasn't supposed to, and these beings, I noticed as this helicopter was there for about 2 minutes, just circling around, noticing where they were and all that, and then they just kind of eased off a little bit, turned his light off, and those beings just started walking off into the darkness.
And they disappeared.
Their lights dimmed out, and they just started walking off. They were kind of grayish white, and off in the darkness, the moon was out, and I could see them for a little ways down the bank line, but, oh, man, I was freaked out.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. And I asked for these stories, and I'm getting them tonight. I'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Don't touch that dial. On our next Coast to Coast program, we talk about disembodied spirits. Yep. And hypnotherapy on Coast to Coast AM. Well, last week I had an opportunity to view Jose Escamilla's Moon Rising documentary. I went out there and did the presentation for Jose and brought him up on stage at the Leonard Goldenson Theater they had here in Hollywood. And he showed his movie. And I got to tell you, those pictures that he had were absolutely gorgeous of the moon and the mood of the music and the things that he picked were just superb job. Jose Escamilla, as you know, brought us the story of rods a long time ago. So he's an investigator, and he was looking for some moon anomalies there. Good job, Jose. Good job. Back to the phones we go. Let's pick it up by going to Ziggy on the wildcard line. Hello, Ziggy.
Hey, George. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Aren't you going to have nightmares when you go back home and go to sleep?
I might. I might.
I just wanted to say, first of all, I'll tell you my weird experience in a second, if that's okay.
Sure.
I just want to, I don't know if you remember myself or not.
I remember the word Ziggy.
About the nightmares about my mother's death and stuff like that?
Yes. Okay. Now I'm putting the Ziggy and you together.
Just wanted to let you know the dreams did happen again.
They don't go away, do they?
No. After the 17th, they're gone. But anyways, that's a different story in itself again. But anyways, the weird experience I've ever experienced was on the 1st of July back in 1987.
All right.
It was a full moon. I was at a cemetery at 4 o'clock in the morning visiting a friend of mine at the cemetery.
A dead friend or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
4 in the morning?
Yeah.
All right.
Because this other friend of mine, he was a DJ, and he had the song Stand By Me by Benny King.
Great song, by the way.
Exactly. And every time when he played it, he dedicated it to this friend of mine. And about 4:05 in the morning, I was there, and I had my radio there with me. And he was saying, no, this is dedicated to the Duke this morning. Duke, if you can hear this, this is for you. And a couple of seconds later, this friend of mine on the radio, he was saying, I think something is staring at you there, Ziggy. All of a sudden, I felt a hand on my shoulder.
Oh, no.
I got my radio, got on my bike, and I got the heck out of that cemetery as fast as I could. And ever since then, I've been scared of full moons. Not the butt be a full moon. I mean the full moon in the sky.
Oh, we've got another one coming up pretty soon, don't we?
Oh, yeah. And I stay inside. Or I try to stay inside, or I try not to look at it.
Well, as long as you don't turn into a werewolf, Ziggy.
Exactly.
Okay, my friend, thanks. Next up, Lee in Silver Spring, Maryland, east of the Rockies. Hi, Lee.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
Long time.
That's right.
Okay, about 58 years ago, I lived about the north end of Washington, D.C. in Maryland.
Okay.
And it was dark by dinner time. And from the east, this big ball of fire came. It was up, and it come slope down, and it had a long tail, and it landed in West Virginia. The next morning, I turned the television on, and a reporter was talking, and all these people that had gone up on this hilltop to see what it was, they were on his show, and they were telling what he blew, and they all passed out. And when they got finished, he had walked away. And so in the paper where it landed, I cut the article out, and they said the thing was 8 to 10 feet tall, had a red face and green robe like clothes. But when they came over my house, it was bigger than a wash tub, nothing but fire. And so I've been trying for 58 years to call you, tell you.
58 years?
Yes.
I haven't been on the air that long, Lee.
No. I know you haven't. but do you remember We the People?
I do. So you're saying you saw some kind of creature?
It was... Well, when it landed, they said it was a monster. They call it the shooting star, and it was a monster. It landed on the hill. This was in the paper. I cut it out of the paper where it landed.
Where did it go, Lee?
I never heard anymore after that show.
Did it run away somewhere?
Well, I don't know. It says it walked through the grass and burnt the grass as it left, but that's the last I've heard of it.
What a remarkable story.
But the people in West Virginia said they were—they get so many calls and all about it. And
I wonder if that's the same story that Frank Fristino was investigating.
But this thing was—he had
Flatwoods Monster.
He had clothes on. You know, they said it's like big green robe, like clothes. And black hood shaped like an ace of spades.
That's and they all said this?
This was in the paper.
All right, that's strange. Okay, thanks, Lee.
Yes, nice talking to you.
It's a great story. You too. Let's go to our next line. Detroit, Michigan, my old hometown. Hey, Ray, how are you?
Hey, George. It's been a long time. Like, I haven't talked to you since, like, last year. I've been trying to get on, like, every day because I listen, like, every day.
Coming back to Detroit the end of May, by the way, to do a show there and celebrate my mother's 80th birthday.
That's awesome, man.
Maybe
awesome.
We should have a whole... Everybody in Detroit will go to her birthday party. She'd like that.
Hey.
Maybe I'll set that up.
Yeah, hey.
That'll freak her out.
For that. Yeah. Oh, was it? I wanted to tell you about this weird story. It happened about early November.
Of last year? Of 2008?
Early November of 2008.
Okay.
And my friends and I... it was like a Saturday. We didn't have nothing to do. It was like a Saturday night. So we decided to go over to the, you know, the old train station there in Detroit there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, we decided, you know, why not? You know, I mean, not supposed to go in there, but, you know, oh, well. So it was it. And my friend brought along his voice recorder and stuff like that. And, you know, I got some, you know, a little bit of a night vision monocle so you can see and stuff and walk around in there. And we were in the basement. We went through the docks. And we heard like... weird sounds of, like, people sound like they're talking, like they're all saying the same thing or something. Something like chanting or something, you know? But it's like, but you couldn't, like, actually hear people, like footsteps or nothing like that, except for us, because the whole ground is all gravel, broken up, whatever else, rubble. And anyway, after walking around some more and everything else, left, went to my friend's car, and after we got back to, like, his house, we plugged in the voice recorder into his auxiliary output, or whatever you call it, into the radio. We're listening to it over the radio in his car. And then during the part in there, this is just the weirdest thing. When he was talking in the tape,
yeah,
he what do you call it? There's a voice that was mimicking his voice talking at the same time when he was the only one talking. When we were in there. Only thing, it was saying something back. It sounded like English backwards or something like that. It was just weird.
Like reverse speech?
Like, yeah, like reverse speech or something. And it was mimicking his voice, and it was like just as loud as he was. When we were in there, nobody was talking except for him during that.
So you picked up an EVP sound.
I don't know what it was called. But yeah. It was just so freaky. He was so freaked out. Like... He got out of his car and he was like getting sick and everything. And I couldn't help but later.
He really was. He was that upset.
Yeah, he got a real. I was surprised. He's supposed to be Mr. Tough Guy and everything, you know. But he was so freaked out, and I guess he thought something followed him out or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
How's his luck been ever since?
How what?
How has his luck been ever since this episode?
Okay, I guess. I mean,
nothing's happened to him.
He hooked up with some girl, but she's kind of gross. But you know, whatever.
See, there it is. That yeah. That did it. He's been cursed.
I don't know, but that was weird, though. I mean, it was just the weirdest thing.
All right, Ray, keep in touch. Get ready to go to my mother's birthday, Fort Myers, Florida. Elaine, I think it's your turn.
Hi, George.
Hello.
I love you. I love your show. And
thank
everything.
You.
I've just got a. Very weird thing that I always wanted to share about something that happened to me. I'm 59 years old, and this happened to me when I was, like, about 5 years old.
God, you remember? And you still remember this, so it must be one heck of a story.
Yeah. Back up in Ohio, where I was born and everything, my whole family was over at my aunt's house and everything, and they have a big family, and everybody was going to have dinner and whatever. It was just a whole big family thing. And I guess I, for some reason or another, I just decided to go out in the yard and just go out in the yard and everything. And it was just like a surreal thing where suddenly, like, way across the yard, I saw this little mouse. This little mouse, and I don't even know how I could have even seen it in the grass.
I was
going
to say,
it
couldn't have been that small if you saw it that far.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's why it's like a missing time thing.
Maybe it was a 2-foot rat or something.
No, it was like I saw this little mouse, and I was just drawn to it, and I just had to go over to it, and I just had to go there, and I went over to it, and then it came up into my hands, and then I took it into my hands, and it was like a very endearing thing where it was like I just needed to be there, and I needed to be with it and everything.
Did it, like, look at you? You know, like a little mouse stands on its little feet and go.
No, it was just like where I just had to go to it, and I just had to take it into my hands, and then I don't remember anything after that, and then my family after that, I don't know, somehow or another, my family just could not find me. They couldn't find me.
I thought you were going to say you woke up with a mouse tail in your mouth or something.
No, my family couldn't find me. I mean, I was just right out there, and supposedly right out there in the yard, but my family couldn't find me. They were calling me for dinner and everything, and they couldn't find me.
Where were you?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I just think that I was abducted or something.
By a mouse?
I don't know. I just think that, you know, you've ever read the story of Missing Time?
Oh, sure. What happened to the mouse?
I don't know. I just remember that I just had to go to this mouse.
You ate the mouse.
And I just, it's had to go to the, I had to go to this mouse.
Swallowed it.
And I, no. And I just had to take it into my hands, and then I don't remember anything after that. I just absolutely cannot remember anything after that.
I would put this down, Elaine, as another weird story. Let's go next to Justin in Needles, California, first-time caller. Go ahead, Justin.
How you doing, sir?
Okay.
Well, I guess I could just make this quick. A few years back when I was in high school, I was attacked by something.
In high school?
Well, not in high school itself.
Oh, okay.
Well, the town I grew up in, we were very small, so there was really not a lot to do other than, like, go to parties and have fun and do all that other kind of stuff.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, this particular night there was. I went to this party, had some girl trouble, wound up getting into kind of a fist fight with this other guy.
Uh-oh.
Well, yeah.
Testosterone flows at these parties.
Yeah, and he ended up did a stomp in a mud hole in my hind end. I lost horribly. As pride goes, I wound up going back to my truck with my buddies.
At least you stood your ground.
I tried. We ended up, you know, drinking a couple beers, not to excess, because I still had to drive home, and my dad would finish the job if I would have showed up drunk.
Well, don't blame him, do you?
At this point, no.
No.
I was sitting there kind of nursing my pride back. I had to use the bathroom, so I snuck off away from public view to do my thing. Was standing there using the bathroom, and I heard something coming up behind me, the, like, footsteps in the twigs and gravel and such.
Right.
And I thought, oh, this is that same guy. He's coming back for round two.
Oh, no.
And so I just, like, okay, I just braced myself waiting for it, because I figured I'm just going to turn and do my thing, and
yep,
hopefully I can get out of this. I got my, you know, jeans put back together, and I spun trying to, like, be surprised and sneaky-like, and there was nothing there. Like, okay, well, you're just, you know, playing mind tricks with you. I started walking back to my truck, and I got a few feet, and something hit me. Something jumped on me.
Physically, you could feel it.
Yo, it knocked me on the ground. I
okay.
smacked my face into the dirt. It snuck up on me. At this point, I'm still thinking it's the same guy. I'm trying to get up and get turned around where I can at least stand my ground. Before I do, I felt something sharp and very painful in a couple inches below my right shoulder. And once I did that, once I felt that, I thought, he stabbed me. I turned, and when I turned, I felt something tear across the inside of my, underneath my armpit, across up to my chest.
Oh, my God.
Once I was on my back, I was face-to-face with this thing. I don't know how else to describe it. It was really hairy, shorter than I was. I mean, in physical stature, it was smaller than me. I'm right at 6 foot. I think I probably had a good 6 to 4 inches on this thing.
So maybe like a smaller Bigfoot?
Yeah, maybe. I don't see, and that's where I'm lost. I don't know how to describe this thing.
But it attacked you. And most Bigfoots, or Big Feet, whatever you call them, Sasquatches, they don't attack.
Well, and see, and I've been an active hunter for a lot of years. I've hunted bear, mountain lion, anything in the Northern America that you can hunt, I've gone after.
Did this cut?
Most predatory animals won't just attack unless they're hungry.
Right. And this one, did it cut you?
Oh, I think it was in the mindset of trying to eat me.
Jeez.
You know, I was prey to this thing. Once I was face to face with it, you know, I mean, it had teeth that were like knives. I mean, it was just horrible.
And it was animal looking?
Oh, yeah. There was no question. This was not anything humanoid at all. I mean, this is just mean.
And you've never seen this kind of species of animal then?
Oh, no. No, it's not even comparable to any known species. I can't. I mean,
well,
how'd
you get out of this, Justin?
Well, when it was, once I spun around, and it had cut me from, like I said, from below the shoulder all the way across up into my chest area. I don't know how I did it. It was, I don't know, the human body, once you're in a situation, it just reacts, I guess. I'd lock its arm or leg or paw or whatever with my right arm. And I just swung up, and I hit it right in the throat. Once I did that, it let out this just, like, almost scream, like this painful, just, like, from-the-gut scream. Once it did that, it let go and kind of fell off. I got up and started running back to my truck. My shirt was torn. I'm bleeding all over the place. I just got inside where I could actually see my vehicle, and it jumped on me again. When it did, it sunk both front paws or whatever into my back and had ended up breaking down. At this current time, I now have two sets of three scars going from the top of my shoulder down to the base of my hips.
And to be continued. On Friday, you call us back, Justin. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.